Today here in the studio, we're looking ahead to Friday night and a concert at the Ladies Library of Kalamazoo. In the studio to talk about it are Paula Jameson of the Ladies Library Association, as well as two musicians, horn player Ron Chase and bassoonist Judy Bellin. And we're going to be discussing the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet in concert at 7:30 on Friday. Nice to have you here.
Morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, this is part of a series now of, I think it's the fourth season?
This is our third season.
Yes. Well, it's getting up there. Paula, what is it actually like to have regular musical concerts at the Ladies Library of Kalamazoo? I mean, it's such an old building. There are theories and, you know, philosophies about harmony and the way music can just affect inert things and bring new life to things. I mean, is this sort of giving the Ladies Library a little air of life and melody?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, this building, which was built in 1878, 1879, had from the beginning an auditorium on the second floor. And the intention of the women who built the building was to open this to the community for various kinds of events. And even back years ago, there were concerts and amateur theatricals. And in the early days of recordings, they were charging a dime a piece to come and listen to recordings, early recordings, which I think is just wonderful. So to have music on a regular basis in the building, I think just totally enriches it. And it's a little woo-woo, but I do love the idea that there's this sort of vibrational thing, which, yeah, of course, music is inherently, that really informs the whole building. So, yeah, I think it adds to the beauty of the building.
And, Ron, this is where the Arcadia Wind Quintet and the additional ensembles have made their home since the beginning. So how is it to be in your third year of concerts at the Ladies Library? What's it feel like?
Well, we are very, very pleased with the whole thing. And it seems as though each year, at least in the minds of the quintet, gets better and better. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the proof of that is the fact that instead of doing three concerts as we have done in the past 2 years, this year we're doing four concerts. And this is our third.
How is this concert a little different from the last time we talked?
It is a little more featuring solo pieces rather than total ensemble pieces. At the very beginning of the year, when the Arcadia Quintet kind of planned our repertoire, we decided that for this season, we would try a little bit more to feature individual players instead of just being a quintet the whole time. We feel we have a pretty good talent group individually also. And so for the past two concerts, there have been solo pieces by members of the quintet. And this upcoming one on Friday, we're featuring Judy Bellin, our very fine bassoon player, mm-hmm, with the Saint-Saëns bassoon piano sonata. And this is another step along the way. We will also be featuring the Haydn London Trio Number 1, and the people featured from the quintet on that are going to be Bobby Coleman on flute and Wendy Mazur on oboe, along with Luke Cook on cello.
Can you tell me what, in addition to playing music, Bobby Coleman and Wendy Mazur do in their lives in our community?
Well, Wendy is a very active teacher in the area. She has a studio and a large number of students. And she also is active with ensemble work. She's the integral part of the Arioso Trio, which is violin, oboe, and cello. And she is also very, very active in the community in the Texas Township Board.
Yeah, I think she's an elected official.
Yes, she is. Uh-huh. And then Bobby has off and on taught in the schoolcraft system, teaching music. She is largely just a very wonderful mother and wife, and is an incredibly good contributor to our quintet.
I don't think I've seen Luke Cook on a program before. Is he new this time?
Luke Cook is a member of the Arioso Trio. And he is an active teacher, and from what I know of him, I don't really know Luke, but from what I know of him, he is an active teacher in both the Kalamazoo and the Benton Harbor area, and he teaches at the Crescendo Academy, and he has a music program over in Benton Harbor also.
So that gives you a little idea of the kinds of people who are part of Arcadia Winds and the larger ensemble. Many people working in music, but also not necessarily working in music, but clearly in love with music and performing on instruments they've been trained to perform with. Luke is a wonderful player. I've seen him a few times, and he's a terrific chamber musician as well. So let's hear a little of this London Trio that starts the program. Again, the concert is Friday at 7:30 at the Ladies Library of Kalamazoo. Of Franz Josef Haydn, we heard the trio in C major, number one, known as a London Trio, performed there by Jean-Pierre Rampal. We had, I think, Isaac Stern and Mstislav Rostropovich. On Friday night, the same work will be performed in another version for flute, oboe, and cello. And the musicians will be Bobby Coleman, Wendy Mazur, and cellist Luke Cook. My guests here today are horn player Ron Chase, as well as bassoonist Judy Belland and Paula Jameson of the Ladies Library of Kalamazoo, which is the venue for the program, the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet. You could call it, that's their home venue, where it performs this year four times in the season. So the program starts with Haydn and moves on with Camille Saint-Saëns. This is the work that, Judy, you will be performing, a sonata by Saint-Saëns for bassoon with pianist Barbara Hong.
That's right.
Okay, Judy. Let's hear about what it's like to, you know, work full-time as a librarian at Western Michigan University and then have to prepare, you know, a serious piece of music for a one-time-only performance on Friday night.
It's challenging, but definitely worth it. It's very rewarding getting to play my instrument after all these years to still be playing, and to play chamber music especially. I do enjoy that. And we've got a great venue there. It feels very much like home. It feels like a very mutually beneficial arrangement. I think both the quintet and our other friend musicians and the people at the Ladies Library both benefit and find it a very positive experience.
During the music, I was just saying, well, the flute that I play on was a student model, and then I just recently started on a different flute, and I was just thought I'd ask you the same thing. What is your bassoon make and model, and when did you acquire it?
Oh, I play a Fox Renard, which actually is considered a student model. Maybe you could call it a higher-end student model. I am the original owner. I got it in, I think, about 1982, and the Fox company is located not too far in South Bend, Indiana. So, yeah, I've been playing the same bassoon ever since.
You know it really well.
Yes, very well.
Yeah, because the more you get to know an instrument, the more you know its quirks and whether a scale is going to be played on its own or you're going to have to help it out with a lot of embouchure things.
Absolutely. And each instrument can vary a lot. I don't know if that's as true with flutes and other instruments, but certainly with bassoons, you could get the same make and model and find them to be very different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell me about the Saint-Saëns Sonata. Is this a piece you've been playing for a long time? When did you first work it up?
Actually, I did perform this on my senior recital. That would have been way back in about 1985. But yeah, it's definitely a popular, often heard piece in the bassoon repertoire.
Do you know about who he wrote it for or why it was one of the pieces he composed?
Well, he composed this and a couple other sonatas actually in the final year of his life. He did sonatas for the oboe, the clarinet, and bassoon. He had plans for doing flute and English horn, but unfortunately he did pass away later that year. And he felt that they were the neglected instruments, and I think most of us wind players would agree. We don't have nearly the vast repertoire that the string players enjoy. So he was making a point to even that out a little.
Debussy went on to attempt the same thing and also fell a little short because of, well, death. But it would have been nice if these French composers had just finished the full series of sonatas for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, we bassoonists and oboists and clarinetists are the lucky ones that Saint-Saëns did manage to get to those.
What are some of the other, you know, bassoon pieces that stretch your performance ability and are some of the core pieces in the repertoire that you've studied that added to your skill set?
Oh, certainly the Mozart Bassoon Concerto, which was one of Mozart's earlier works. I think he was 19 when he composed that. And he actually composed, I forget now if it was two or three other bassoon concertos that we know of but did not survive. So this is the only Mozart Bassoon Concerto that made it to the current day. There's two Weber bassoon concertos that are also played quite a lot. I did play one of those at the concerto concert, again, my senior year here at Western, way back in 85. So those are the biggies for the concertos. Other popular sonatas include a Tonsman, very challenging
Alexander
piece.
Alexander Tonsman, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the, he's actually a contemporary of like Stravinsky and Gershwin, so somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. Uses some jazzy things, I think, sometimes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And let's see. And there's a Poulenc. Well, now we're back into chamber music, but he has a particular favorite of mine. He has the trio for piano, oboe, and bassoon, and the sextet. Both of those pieces the Arcadia Group has performed in the past.
Did you ever actually put down the bassoon for a real extended period, over 6 months to a year or something?
Oh, maybe longer, I think.
Really?
After I graduated from here and went on to do my music therapy internship and begin my first full-time job in music therapy and so on, I did set the bassoon aside for quite a while. I didn't, you know, I wasn't taking lessons. I wasn't playing with any group. So it was kind of hard to, you know, get inspired to keep up with it.
That is what it sort of takes, is not just self-determination, but sort of social interaction.
Right, right. You need some structure and some inspiration, something to be working toward.
Yeah, which is kind of how this evolved for a number of musicians with the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet. How long have you played with Arcadia? Since the beginning?
Since the beginning, which is how long, Ron?
2009.
Since 2009.
Okay. Did you think it would last this long, 2009? That's going on 8 years?
You know, I probably didn't, if you had asked me then. I might not have guessed that it would go on this long and evolve as much as it has and to start, you know, expanding, doing larger ensembles as well, where the quintet is now kind of the core group of this larger group of musicians, and we kind of mix and match with each performance. So we have different instrumentation, different kinds of pieces featured each time.
Can you tell us the names of the other quintet members?
Well, we've already mentioned Bobby and Wendy, and of course Ron and I are here. So that leaves Mike Petkus,
clarinet,
our very fine clarinetist. Yes.
Okay. So that's the core of the Arcadia players. But as you said, there are other people that move in and out. Maybe you or Ron could name some of the other regular players who kind of enhance the group.
Well, there's Barbara Hong, our very fine pianist who has played many pieces with us now, and in fact will be accompanying me this Friday on the Saint-Saëns. So we're always glad to have Barbara with us. And there are a couple others that maybe Ron knows better. We've had a very fine violinist join us at our last concert.
There have actually been quite a few. In our first concert, we had Joanna Steinhauser, who joined us in violin. Wonderful violinist, concert mistress of the Kalamazoo Philharmonia. And I can put in a plug now, I suppose, for the May concert, our fourth concert for the season, when we're going to be doing a Stravinsky octet, and we're going to be doing the actual orchestral version of the Brahms Serenade No. 2, which will involve 15 players.
Mm. That's as big as it's gotten.
That's going to be a big one, yeah. We're going to just cram that stage full of players.
and string and winds.
Yeah, and we have a cadre of about 10, including the quintet, the Arcadia Quintet, we have about 10 wind players who get together about once a year, and this year we're doing it twice, and putting together a larger ensemble. But for the Brahms, we need strings. And so we have two violas, two cellos, and a bass that will be coming in and joining us.
No conductor?
We haven't decided yet. We have one in mind, but we're going to try it out without a conductor and see if we can do it.
Right.
15 people's kind of pushing a little bit, I think, but if we can really hear each other, we might be able to pull it off without one.
I've noticed, I've been at the concerts at the Ladies' Library, there's a pretty good following that turns out on a Friday night when everything else is also competing for attention. But a lot of people just like to catch some instrumental music in a variety of forms and styles.
Well, there is a draw for us that might be a little different than other musical venues. First of all, the concerts are free. We do appreciate donations, but the concerts are free and donations are voluntary. We have a little bit of support from the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo, but donations are kind of what keep us going. We have probably a somewhat different program than most of the other music venues around town. We're pretty much all winds, and we mix it up. We don't have a lot of the same thing, so we try and put together every different sound combination out of the quintet that we can. For our last concert, it was the 29th of January. I think there are four other musical venues going on that day, including a Fontana one and a Western Michigan University one, and we still drew a crowd of about 50 people.
Wonderful.
And so we're pleased that the group is putting out a program that seems to be consistently fairly popular.
Okay, well, let's take another musical break and hear music from the Sonata for Bassoon and Piano, Opus 168. We have a recording here, and I can't tell you the lady's name because it's
Judith LeClaire.
That's right, another Judith. Okay, this is the Sonata in G major.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and three movements in this work?
That's right.
What's the general storyline or character we have?
Well, the first movement, which is very brief, has a lovely long melody, a very, I would say, harp-like accompaniment on the part of the piano. The third movement is, I'm sorry, the second movement is the Allegro Scherzando. It's obviously much livelier and probably what a lot of people would consider more typical bassoon music if they're into the more, you know, the clown of the orchestra idea. There's a little more humor in that music. And then the last movement is actually another slow, nice melody for almost the entire movement. And then there's suddenly an allegro that wraps the whole thing up.
Beautiful sonata for bassoon and piano by Camille Saint-Saëns. We heard a recording by Judith Leclerc, and here in the studio we have Judy Belland, who is set to perform the work on Friday. I should definitely play and hear that more often. What a beautiful piece. That's good.
Yes, it has beautiful melodies. It has, like I mentioned before, it's little humorous bits, and yeah, it's just a very nice piece. And the blending, the playing between the bassoon and the piano. It's just a nice piece. It's a reason he's, you know, one of my favorite composers.
You played it in your senior recital at Western Michigan University, and now it's years later. And does it take you back to young Judy again, or do you have a new take on it?
That's a good question. That's a hard question. Certainly it brings back memories.
Sometimes we have marked our parts. It's the same sheet music from before. And so you'll see your teacher's notes and the ways that you were trying to enhance the music when you first learned it.
That probably would have been helpful. I don't know if I still have the old piece of music. It might be buried in all my other music somewhere. I'm actually using a copy I checked out of the library here. So it was all fresh and there's no markings.
Well, there, it gives you a fresh take on it, I guess.
Right.
Well, that's the second piece on the program on Friday night. Music begins at 7:30 in a free program at the Ladies' Library of Kalamazoo. Now, the Ladies Library is the home of the Ladies Library Association, and Paula Jamison has been a member for a long time. And Paula, I'm curious to know if you're looking for new members and how one would go about to becoming one.
Yes, well, the Ladies Library is always welcoming of new members. We are a women's organization, so that's kind of one criterion, and women 18 or over. It's probably, if you come to an event, it's very easy because we have a little hard copy membership applications that you can take with you. But if you are interested, you can also go on our website, which is www.KalamazooLadiesLibraryAssociation.org. And there's membership information there, and there's a downloadable form. We ask that a member sponsors a new member, but if you don't know anyone in the organization, that's fine because we can arrange a sponsor for you. We have an ongoing traditional interest in supporting the cause of literacy, particularly, and have several ongoing projects that we do in the community, particularly Books for Babies is our signature project. And we collect books for infants and toddlers and distribute them to the community through 25 different agencies. And so that's one of our big ongoing things. But we also do programs twice a month for our members, covering covering a range of cultural and scientific and just different areas of interest for our members. And plus, we're the home now for the Arcadia Woodwind Quintet and some other musical programming. So there's a lot going on, and we have about 170, 185 members currently, and there's room for more. So yes, please get in touch with us if you're interested.
We were talking about the concert hall, which is located on the second floor, and it's accessible via a winding staircase.
And an elevator.
Or an elevator. Right, which was installed a few years back in order to make it easier to get to, more accessible. But let's talk about the first floor. What amenities might you have there?
Well, the first floor, the building, when it was done in the late 19th century, was the women did it in a very elegant way. I think they were thinking about a version of what would have been thought of as men's clubs in those days. And at that point, it was also the only circulating library in this part of the state. And in those days, these were membership libraries. You had to join to have checkout privileges. And the main floor, which is quite beautifully done, supported with cast iron pillars that are painted to look like the ash woodwork in the rest of the building. And at the time, it was a collection of about 3,500 volumes. And we still have many of those, what we call our vintage library, on display on that main floor. And we have some lovely copies of paintings that were collected by some of our members in the late 19th century who would take the grand tour to Europe and bring home art and artifacts. And some lovely other, we have a stained glass, our transoms of our windows are 19th century stained glass. And then we have a window on the front that was done in the early 2000s by a local glass artist, Jamie Reif. So, and we're on the Michigan stained glass registry with our stained glass. So we have some really beautiful things to kind of look at while you're wandering around. And after the concert and enjoying refreshments with the musicians.
Right. The ladies' library really knows how to throw a reception, too, after a concert. So that's something I'm sure that a lot of audience members appreciate after. And is that a volunteer corps?
We are an all-volunteer organization. We have one part-time custodian that we employ, again, a young woman, which is kind of wonderful. But other than that, everything that is done, we do. And it's a labor of love, and we have lots of people that love it.
Well, here in the last few minutes of the hour, let's quickly take a look at the final two works, really, on the program. There was a short piece by Haydn that wraps it all up, but it's Beethoven's Quintet Opus 71 and Charles Lefebvre. I've already forgotten that.
Lefebvre.
His Suite for Winds, Opus 57. So, Ron, would you do the honors and take us over the Beethoven and Lefebvre?
Okay. The Beethoven Quintet is, as was typical of many of Beethoven's early compositions, kind of a rewrite of something that was composed even sooner. And it has been in forms of a string composition, a wind sextet, and we are performing a version which is a wind quintet. And Beethoven did his own rewriting. These were not transcriptions done by other composers. Anyway, it's in four movements. The first movement is a very lively allegro. And the second movement is a beautiful adagio. Just flows beautifully. The third movement is one of Beethoven's typically sort of hunting call type of minuets. And then the fourth movement is a lively wrap-up, essentially, that where things just sort of come to a climax, as Beethoven often does, with a very distinctive ending. So there's the quintet, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like appealing pop music of its day.
It you could probably say that, yes. It's a very lively, very appealing, nice listening composition. And then the Lefebvre is a late 1800s, typical French composition. There was a sort of a cadre of composers that were connected in some way to the Paris Conservatory who were kind of fighting against the very heavy Germanic, late Romantic type of compositions with more charming, lighter, almost neoclassical compositions in some respects. And he was one of many of the composers who were in that genre. And so his piece is it's a suite in three parts. The first part is a canon, a very lovely canon. And the horn kind of brings up the rear of the canon, essentially. And then there is a 6/8 time composition, which is a very nice one. And then there is a somewhat longer and a little bit more serious ending to it. It's not a terribly long piece, but it's a very charming composition.
Do you know if the composer played a woodwind instrument?
He played flute, yes.
Oh, look at that.
Yes.
I should know that. Well, Paula and Ron and Judy, thanks for coming in to talk about this concert. Maybe, Ron, once more you can give the time and place.
It's going to be this coming Friday the 17th. Wear your green when you come to the concert. And it's going to be at the Ladies Library Association, Richmond Auditorium, and it starts at 7:30. The concert is free, and there are refreshments after.
Well, terrific. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Kara.